Greetings and God bless you, my friends and neighbors, and welcome to the Wow Factor, the word of wisdom designed to inspire, empower, and enlighten you in just a few short minutes at a time. My name is D.L. Wallace, and I am elated to be the host of this day's call, where our motto is simple: your soul will be blessed in 8 minutes or less. Our request is simple as well. Send this podcast to your coworkers, your neighbors, your loved ones, and friends so they can have some inspiration to make it through the course of their day. Let's jump right into our topic today, my friends, and that topic is simply school for the blind. School for the blind. Now, when a person loses their physical sight, fortunately, there are institutions those people can go to in order to learn how to function in everyday society. However, what do we do for those people who have lost their internal vision and can no longer see their hopes or their dreams or their goals or their purpose or plans? What do we do when people have lost that sight that we only get from the inside and they can no longer see themselves prospering or advancing or winning in any aspect? Well, my friends and neighbors, obviously, of course, in this spiritual life, God has a school for the blind. Now, obviously, we outlined that the blind are dealt with a lot in the scripture. In Matthew 15 and 14, Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall into a ditch. And then in John chapter 9, verses 39 through 41, Jesus outlines in 39 that they which see might not see, and they which might see may be made blind. Yes, my friends and neighbors, there is an aspect of this spiritual life. We're not talking about physical blindness. You remember the old song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound? Well, it says, I was blind, but now I see. Yes, my friends, God has a way to open the eyes of the blind, and there is a school for everyone that ever loses their vision, their hopes, their dreams, or their plans. My friends, let's outline this in our BLIND acronym. 5 key elements that we can utilize to restore our internal vision, how we can help those around us to see better as well. That B reminds us of the importance of a belief system. Jesus told Jairus when his daughter had died, he said, Jairus, don't fear, just keep believing. You see, many people, when the vision is gone, it's because they've lost their belief. Well, and if a person's actually blind, they no longer have the ability to see with their physical eyes. Well, they still can read by using a system called Braille. This is when they rub their hands across the paper and the paper has these different dots that they can feel on it, my friends, and it allows for them to be able to see the words, so to speak. Well, by the same token, sometimes in this spiritual life, we also need to be able to experience something like that. The Bible tells us in Matthew 5 and 16, let our light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And Jesus even said it in John 10 and 38, but if you don't believe me, believe in the works that I do. That's going to prove that the Father's in me and I'm in him. When was the last time you allowed someone to experience your fruit of the Spirit? That love, that joy, that peace, that long suffering, that gentleness, that goodness, that faith. When was the last time, my friends, that you allowed that person who may be struggling with believing in God's goodness and his power and his mercy to see those three things working through you? I challenge you, my friends, to allow yourselves to build up the belief systems of those around you by letting them see how you handle things under pressure. Yes, my friends, not only is it the belief system, but we also have to work on the listening skills. That's the L. They say that when people go blind, that the other senses elevate, including their ability to hear, that they hear better than they have before. You see, well, we've got to also adopt that principle in our spiritual life because we've got to hear God even more. We've got to hear the word even more. Remember, the Bible says in Matthew 11 and 15, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. I challenge you, my friends and neighbors, to put positive things into your mind by listening to only the best. I drown out the negativity and embrace the positivity and then tell yourself how good you are. The Bible says that we should speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. That's in Ephesians 5 and 19. Yes, my friends and neighbors, we should control what goes into our ears because that's going to elevate our sight and our ability to see. That eye reminds us of the importance of interaction. You see, when a person is blind, then they have to have some human interaction. Someone for a season may have to help them hold their hand or help them eat or help them get dressed. They've got to work with them one-on-one. My friends, we've got to do the same thing in this Christian life. There are people that you know that have lost their vision. There are people that you know that are not strong like they used to be. Well, the Bible says in Romans 15:1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Then in Ecclesiastes 4:9, we discover that two are better than one. Yes, my friends and neighbors, I challenge you through communication and participation to work with those people who are struggling to see. Take them to church with you. Pick them up for Bible study. Call them on the phone. Interact with them. Engage with them. Yes, my friends and neighbors, and they can then grow. That end reminds us of the importance of nurturing. Yes, typically when we hear the word nurture, we think of a family structure, how a father and a mother will nurture a child, how they'll make sure that that child goes from infant to toddler and from toddler to adolescent and so forth and so on. By the same token, my friends, we've got to nurture those who've lost their sight. We've got to show them appreciation. We've got to show them, give them exhortation and encouragement. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:21 that we should submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. And then remember in the book of Colossians, when Paul sent Tychicus, and his whole job was to comfort their hearts. Whose heart are you comforting, my friend? What person are you nurturing? The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:11 to comfort ourselves together and edify one another. Yes, my friends and neighbors, we should be the comforters. Remember, we're empowered by the great comforter. The Holy Spirit of God is called the comforter. He's our nurturer. He's the one that takes us from point A to point B and beyond. Yes, my friends and neighbors, and last but not least, that D stands for delegation. See, the delegation is the art of giving them something constructive to do. Think about people, actors and artists who were blind, like Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles, who could play the piano and harmonica and could sing and create songs. Well, they had something they could do. By the same token, my friends and neighbors, just because those around you have lost a particular aspect of their vision, don't stop proving to them that they have value. Continue to prove to them that they can make it. Continue to entrust them with responsibility, and that will allow them to open their eyes. Remember, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 4:2 to preach the word in season and out of season. Yes, my friends and neighbors, we've got a job to do. Then we discover in Matthew 28:19 that we go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Yes, my friends, God has delegated to us. We can then also involve other people. We can send them and successfully through blind school. That's all the time of yours I'm going to take today, my friends. Until we talk again on tomorrow, God bless you. God bless your families, and embrace the new and improving you.